Thank you, Mr. Dolby. Thank you, trumpet volunteer. That sounded just fine. Some of you may be surprised that I am giving the sermon this morning. It wasn't on the schedule. A day or two ago, we switched it that I would speak this morning. I didn't know why. After hearing the sermonette, now I know why. So maybe you'll find that out as well. So appreciate that. This day has finally arrived. We've been waiting for it a long time, haven't we? Feast of Trumpets is symbolic, perhaps, maybe, of the greatest event that will ever happen in human history. What an awesome day this is. We are observing the day that pictures Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to return to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to resurrect the saints who have died, change those who are still alive as saints into sons of God also. He's going to assume rulership of this world as he puts down all rebellion against him. This is the day that the disciples thought was going to happen in their day when they asked him, remember that story in Acts, when they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Perhaps they didn't have quite the vision of what the kingdom would be like. But it wasn't. It's the day today that true Christians have looked forward to down through the ages. The day that's given them hope to persevere, to endure hardships and trials, to keep going even when it seems so hard to keep going, because they had a picture of this day and what it meant. And they believed it. They knew that it was something ahead that was worth fighting for. A promise from God, the great God who can never lie, that he would send his Son, Jesus Christ, to rule this earth and to bring them eternal life in his kingdom. It's that promise that the faithful men and women of Hebrews 11 saw afar off, and they were assured of, and they embraced, and they looked for that country, that new heavenly Jerusalem. And they had complete and total confidence and faith that it would happen. This day, perhaps, above all days, symbolizes the greatest hope that mankind has ever known. And as I've been telling you lately, it's not just a hope. We know it. We know it's coming. It's a day that's marked by warfare and conquest, but also a day marked by power and majestic splendor. It's a day so awesome, so overwhelming in its grandeur, that it's proclaimed to the world by the piercing sound of mighty trumpets. Kind of wish we had several trumpets in here. Just blow them out as loud as they possibly could, but imagine that happening. Mighty trumpets calling the world someday to attention. And we are celebrating that day today. I hope we're celebrating. I hope there is an excitement about you today, about all of us as we gather collectively today. What a special day this is. God wanted his people that he would work with and call throughout all the centuries to know that someday this incredible event, an event that will be ushered in with the sound of trumpets, this day will happen. It is certain it's going to happen. So therefore, God ensured the knowledge and the awareness of this future event by including it as one of the seven annual holy days that outline his plan of salvation for all mankind. God also directed that his people would learn more and more about this day of trumpets as he utilized the blowing of trumpets in various events and ceremonies until the time of the first coming of Jesus Christ as a newborn baby. Now today, we're going to see how God has used trumpets from before the birth of Jesus Christ to symbolize or to illustrate the significance of this coming great event. You see, he doesn't just want us to understand it. He wanted all mankind to see and understand. And they'll understand. They'll look back on their lives and they'll see things that happen. And when they're resurrected, it will be so clear to them the meaning of this day. Even though for them it will be a day in the past. Let's look at the Feast of Trumpets then from the perspective of the Old Testament. And now Mr. Davis may understand why I appreciated his sermonette from speaking about the symbolism of the Old Testament. We're going to see how those with eyes to see and ears to hear in the Old Testament times could have learned about the war and the conquest, the power and the majestic splendor of the return of Jesus Christ. So our title today is The Old Testament Feast of Trumpets. The Old Testament Feast of Trumpets. The first place we're going to see the use of trumpets in a very special ceremony is where the Israelites came to Mount Sinai and God was going to proclaim the Ten Commandments to the people. Now don't despair. This is going to be pretty exciting. Don't just sit there and say, oh, we're going to look at the Old Testament. I really wanted to hear about all the, wow, the wars to come and all the great tribulation and all that stuff. Stand by. We're going to see what's in the Old Testament. May surprise you. Exodus 19 and verse 10. Then the Eternal said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes and then let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set your bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain and do not touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. See, God is very serious here about these instructions. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, doesn't matter, he shall not live. Notice, when the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. They will assemble at the base of the mountain. Don't touch it. Verse 16. Then it came to pass on that third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Okay, that's how loud it was. Let's put ourselves there and picture what this might have been like and how scared you might have been. It's an incredible thunderstorm, brilliant lightning. And you hear the sound, the loudest trumpet sound you've ever heard. So loud, everyone in camp is quaking in their boots. It's that scary. It's awesome. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became even louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. You can imagine this. Ear-splitting thunder, brilliant lightning, and the trumpets blasting very long, growing louder and louder so that everyone is trembling in fear. They were stunned by this display of the awesome power of the presence of God. So when God came to Mount Sinai, he came to the mountain, it was announced with power and it was announced with the blast of a very loud trumpet. This continues on into the next chapter, just after God speaks the Ten Commandments. Chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. So it's continuing. It's an awesome scene. This display of power is to show the people, and they know that they know, I'm in the presence of God. God is here. And the power is so intense, they're afraid they're going to die. And so they say, verse 19, they say to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. Don't let this God speak with us, lest we die. They were trembling so much. It was so awesome, so fearful. They really were afraid for their very lives. Now, you've never heard anything like that. You've never seen anything like that. They did, and it was real to them. It was an awesome display of the glory and power of God. God intended to show the people he is God. He is to be worshipped. He is to be feared. He is to be held in great respect and awe. Sadly, the people feared in the wrong way. And they wanted God to go away from me. I'm too afraid of you. What we're learning here is that when God wants to get your attention, He knows how to do it. He's very powerful. Can you imagine this power? I mean, God thinking, oh, that's powerful. And He says, I made the universe. You think this is powerful? It was to the human beings. When Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament, who was the God who came to Mount Sinai, when He comes to the mountain again, and He will, He is going to again come in a display of awesome power and glory. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. What we're going to be seeing today is just what was mentioned in the sermonette. These examples, these things of the Old Testament are types, and they point us to the future, to the fulfillment of what's actually going to happen. There's a great deal that we can learn from when we see trumpets being used in the Old Testament to what it's going to be like in the future. Joel chapter 2 verse 1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, in Jerusalem, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, the mountain again. Let all the inhabitants of the land do what? Tremble. See why the Israelites trembled before God on the mountain? Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is at hand. This is a future fulfillment. Verse 10, the earth quakes before them. Didn't we have the mountain all quaking? The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark. There was great smoke coming out of the mountain with the Israelites. And the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before His army, for His camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? That's what the Israelites said before Mount Sinai. I can't endure this. It's too great. It's too wondrous. It was just a type of what that day is going to be like. When the day of trumpets is fulfilled at the return of Jesus Christ. This display of power sounds very much here like what we just read in Exodus. But it will be a far more powerful. And there will be many who will not endure it. This blazing glory, this brilliant presence of Jesus Christ at His triumphant return again to the mountain. And we know the story. We know what happens. God knows how to get the attention of the world. Just like He got the attention of the Israelites, He will get the attention of the world. Once again, we see it will be done with the blowing of trumpets. The blowing of trumpets. Clearly, God wanted us to know that the use of trumpets is highly symbolic in heralding major life-changing events. And He uses trumpets. The greatest life-changing event of all time, as we've talked about earlier, I believe will be the triumphant return of Jesus Christ to take control of all of the nations on the earth. How wonderful that day will be. Therefore, God established this day, this Feast of Trumpets, as one of the seven annual holy days. There's a reason why this day is holy, for what it means. Leviticus 23, verse 23. We may yet even read this in the sermonette this afternoon and the sermon this afternoon, because it's very important. This is the commands, or this is where the holy days are listed. Leviticus 23, verse 23. The Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month. It was kind of nice. Last night, it was a beautiful evening, and the sunset was incredible. Sat out on our back deck and looked at the sunset. Welcomed in Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Trumpets. A wonderful day. Seventh day, seventh month, first day of the month. You shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a reminder of what? Blowing of trumpets. This is a holy convocation. This is a holy day. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering. We've done that, made by fire to the Lord. Numbers 29 and verse 1. You don't have to return there. It just almost says identical, the same thing. Numbers 29, 1. In the seventh month, first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. Do no customary work, for it is a day of blowing the trumpets. Blowing the trumpets today. This symbolizes an event so special. God establishes it as one of His annual holy days. He says it's a day when we're to assemble together And we've done that in a holy convocation, and we're to learn something today about the blowing of trumpets. I can remember the very first time I heard about this holy day when I was just a kid, the Feast of Trumpets, and I laughed. I thought that was the funniest sounding thing. You call it the day of trumpets. And what's that all about? Well, I've had my lifetime now to find out. We are too, finding out what it means, the Feast of Trumpets. The world around us thinks this is crazy. They say things like, how foolish of you people to miss work and miss school to observe some outdated Jewish holiday. Rosh Hashanah. What do you people think you are? So the world thinks we're crazy. The world is wrong. We're not crazy at all. God's very serious about this. And he intends for us to listen to what he has to say about the blowing of trumpets, especially on this day. He clearly tells us why in his word. Let's reread a scripture we've already looked at today, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9. There's a very special reason why God talks so much about trumpets and what he wants us to learn, why he made it a holy day. Numbers 10, verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you. We ever have enemies who oppress us? We ever have war? You shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Now, because of the loud noise a trumpet can make, and trumpets can make pretty loud noise. I heard, was it Mr. Miller I was talking about in the sermon out of Leaving Hickory? He talked about he played the trumpet in elementary school and a year in high school. So did I. He talked about how he'd go out and try to blow the trumpet and make a noise with it, and it would just sound like a shrieking noise. I identify with that, too. It can make a loud noise. Sometimes it's a very pleasant noise, but it can be very loud anyway. So trumpets have been used to send a message to large groups of people because you can hear it. But particularly, notice here, soldiers in a time of war, sounding the blowing of the trumpets. Now, the people of God often had to go to war. God wanted these people who had to go to war, he wanted them to know, I'm with you. I'm here. And I would help you win your battles. What did he say here? You will be remembered before the Lord your God. So the alarm of the trumpets would sound. The armies rallied. They gathered together to get ready for battle, and they were then to remember, because they heard the trumpets blowing, remember, God will save them. I don't have to be afraid. I've heard the trumpet blowing. I'm not afraid. My enemies should be afraid, not me. I know who's blowing the trumpet. God will save me. Today we fight battles too. And as we celebrate trumpets today, we are remembering God will intervene and he will save us from our enemies. He promises. And again, I hope we believe that promise. I hope we remember that. We have an annual reminder of the blowing of trumpets showing us Jesus Christ will come in power and glory, and he will vanquish someday our ultimate enemy. Satan the devil will not want to hear the blowing of that trumpet. But he will, and he knows what's just ahead. Then notice the next verse showing us the times that we're to continue to blow the trumpets. Verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness. Are we glad today? Is this not a day of gladness? I hope so. In the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months. This is a triple. It's a day of gladness, this is an appointed feast, and this is the beginning of the month, isn't it? You shall blow the trumpets over your offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a memorial for you before your God. God is here. We've asked for his presence here. And then he says, I am the Lord your God. Realize that. Understand it. I'm here. So the blowing of these trumpets, they're a memorial of something that God does not want us to forget. Trumpets are loud. And trumpets proclaim something that is awesome. And they do it with fanfare and pageantry Just imagine, you know, the people who really can blow the trumpets, those long Ricola-type trumpets, you know, that they blow with the kings and queens and they announce the arrival of the king. Pageantry and fanfare. Trumpets then become representative of calling on God with praise and honor and glory and remembering He is here. We have come before His presence. And we signal it with the blowing of trumpets, with that pageantry and fanfare. So we're told here that we sound the trumpet in our days of gladness, perhaps on the Sabbaths, on holy days, the beginning of the month, whenever we approach God. And when it says we approach God with our offerings. Now that was the instruction for the people of God in the Old Testament. But basically for us, we should also remember that as we approach God, we should also approach God and give Him the great honor and the respect and the reverence and praise that He deserves. And we are especially to do that, it says, at our appointed times. We're doing that today. We are coming before God's presence and giving Him great praise and honor. We did that especially as we were singing the hymns. God wants us to remember something. What is it that we're remembering today? And I hope we are remembering something. Let's go to Joshua. Chapter 6. This has been referred to also in this holiday season. A miraculous event that happened to ancient Israel, and I think it helps us to remember something that we're to be remembering on this day. Let's notice just a portion of the story. I think you know it all, the fall of Jericho. Verse 12. Joshua rose early in the morning. The priest, a lot of you guys did too, didn't you? Rose up early this morning. We're only 25 minutes away. It wasn't so bad. All right. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, so God's presence here, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. The second day, they marched around the city once, returned to camp. And so they did for 6 days, the same routine. But then, verse 15, it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city now seven times in the same manner. And on that day only, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, they had their instructions already, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout!" Along with the sound of the trumpet, "Shout! For the Lord has given you this city." And the walls fell. As Israel here was beginning to enter the promised land, trumpets were used to proclaim God's direct intervention in vanquishing their enemies, in entering the promised land, and overcoming, finally, all enemies as they entered that promised land that God had given to them. Now, this was done in an obviously very miraculous manner. Blowing trumpets and shouting is not necessarily going to cause the walls of a city to come crashing down. They wouldn't have expected that. And I'm sure the people in Jericho were ridiculing them for what they were doing. "You think you're attacking us that way?" Ha ha. And who had the last laugh? People of Jericho died. The walls will come down if God is involved. So here's another lesson that God wants us to learn on this Feast of Trumpets from the Old Testament. God will deliver the promised land to us. And He will do it by His might and by His power, not ours. And in a way we wouldn't even have expected. There is no way we can obtain the promised land on our own. Eternal life in the family of God. We can't do that. It does take an obvious miracle. And this miracle happens when that seventh trumpet sounds, just as it sounded in Jericho. The miracle happened. The seventh trumpet will sound. Jesus Christ will return. We shall be changed. And we need to remember that will happen at the sound of the trumpet. Now, God also uses the blowing of trumpets in yet another miraculous battle that we've often referred to, and this story found in Judges chapter 7. It's the story of Gideon. Now, remember that Gideon was to conquer the Midianites, but God said, nope, you got way too many soldiers to conquer this. So he reduced the number from about 32,000 soldiers, which seems like maybe, is that even enough to conquer Midian? Reduced the number down to a 300. And you know about the lapping of the water and so on. And those who were afraid and didn't want to. Yeah. Judges 7, verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they did something. They didn't blow the clarinet. They blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew their trumpets, broke the pitchers, held the torches in their left hands and the trumpet in their right hands for the blowing it, and they cried out, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army, the Midianites, ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp of the Midianites, you see. And they all died. Trumpets were blown. More obvious intervention from God. So are we beginning to see what the blowing of trumpets should remind us of? Are these just interesting stories? Or is God trying to get our attention with the stories about blowing trumpets? Let's briefly refer to just a couple of other examples of God using trumpets for a specific purpose. Let's go to the book of Chronicles. Let's first go to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16 and verse 6. And I want to just read one verse here. So if you wanted to, you can be turning to 2 Chronicles, because we're going to be here just briefly. It talks about these priests. They're named Benaiah, or whatever it is, and Jehaziel, the priest, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God. So you've got these priests, and on a regular basis, they're blowing the trumpet in front of the Ark of the Covenant of God. Where was God's presence? Okay, the Ark of the Covenant. The trumpets signaled the presence of God. So the priests would blow the trumpets in front of it, saying, God is here. This is God's presence is here. Everything surrounding God is to be done with glory and reverence and respect and honor and praise. And so that's what we saw here with these priests, signaling the glory, if you will, of the Ark of the Covenant. Every time the Ark was moved, they blew the trumpets, signalizing God is here, God is moving. Now let's notice some additional information, as I said. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, some additional information about the Ark of the Covenant and the sounding of the trumpets. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 7. Then the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, of course the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves. Verse 12, and the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun and their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar. They stood at the east end of the altar, these priests, they were clothed in white linen. Symbolic there. Having cymbals, stringed instruments, harps, and with them 120 priests sounding the trumpets. And indeed it came to pass, when the trumpeters and the singers were as one in unity, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not even continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. This was such an awesome event, so miraculous, so powerful, so majestic. The priests had to stop doing what they were doing because of God's presence there. And they were shouting and singing and the blowing of trumpets. An amazing description here of the power and majesty of God. When the ark was placed in its permanent position inside the Holy of Holies, God used incredible pageantry and ceremony here for this special occasion. He wanted the people to know where God was, how majestic He was, how reverent He was, how much praise and honor should be shown to this great God. What was happening? God was coming to His temple in the midst of that pageantry and that majesty, not in secret, but in open power and glory for everyone to see and for everyone to know the magnificent power of the great God that was their God. He is the God of Israel. This is my God. And He wants us to know, I am the Lord your God. See my power. I'm here to help you. That's exactly what we see is going to happen when this day becomes a reality. Jesus Christ is coming in power and great glory, and the trumpets signify great power and authority. And Jesus Christ, the same who was the God of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ will command respect and obedience, and one day every knee will bow before Him. But what He wants is what we see happening still in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. This is what this great God, what Jesus Christ, what He wants. Verse 12. This is what He wants from us. This is what He's going to want from the people as He begins the government of God, the wonderful world tomorrow, beginning of the millennium. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 12. Then they entered into a covenant, they the people. They made a promise now, a covenant with God. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Whoever would not do that, who would not seek the Lord of God of Israel, well, they're to be put to death. It was important. They said, people, we want you to know. We want you to serve this great God. There's a reason. It's important. Whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, and with trumpets, and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and they sought Him with all their soul, and He was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. That's going to happen in the world tomorrow. People finally learn to seek God with all their hearts, and He will give them rest. He's given us rest today. So here we see the trumpets were used to show total commitment to God's way of life. And that's what will be expected soon under the government of Jesus Christ. He cannot force a repentant heart. Do you know that? God can't force you to change, to repent. But God says when it happens, it's a time of celebration. Or, as we saw, it's a time of shouting. It's a time to blow the trumpet. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24, talking about a time yet ahead as the millennium starts. Jesus Christ has come. All these things are happening. The trumpets are blowing. And He wants people. He asks people, change your hearts. Rend your hearts and not your garments, you know. And He says something that's going to happen. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from the nations, and I will gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. It all starts in Jerusalem and Israel. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. God's Spirit is available. You shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness, from your idols, and I will give you that new heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. I'll be your God. I'll deliver you from all your uncleanness. I'll call for the grain. I'll multiply it. I'll bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees, the increase of your fields, so you don't ever again need to bear the reproach of famine among the nations. How embarrassing, what an insult that was. That you'll remember your evil ways and your deeds that weren't good. You'll loathe yourselves. This is repentance. in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. That day is going to happen. And when this day happens, I expect that there will be shouts of joy. And there will be great celebration with the blowing of many, many trumpets. I suspect we may have a part in blowing them. The veil of blindness will be removed from the people of this planet, of this earth. Human beings will be repenting of their sins all over the world. They'll be seeking God's Holy Spirit to change their lives forever. They'll never be like they were again. They'll loathe themselves, it says. But they'll have hope. They'll have a new spirit. They'll have God's Holy Spirit. They'll have just what we have today. And they'll be rejoicing. What's it say in Luke 15:10? It says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." We'll see that. The resurrection will have taken place. We will be in the family of God. Will we know it when people of this earth repent and change their ways and cry out to God? Cry out to the gods. And we'll blow some trumpets, won't we? So what a joyful celebration there'll be when the world begins to find God and seek God with all their hearts. And the celebration that there will be. A time when millions coming to repentance. You talk about a time of celebration. This is nothing. But this day symbolizes that day. That great celebration that's going to come. And we read a little bit about God's description of what that time is going to be like just ahead of us. Let's go to Psalm 47. See, sometimes words just can't describe it. But they try. God tries to give us words in our language that we can try to comprehend how great and awesome the days ahead of us are going to be. Psalm 47 and verse 1. He says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome." See, we've seen that. He's displayed that to us. We've seen examples about that throughout history. "Shout to God with the voice of triumph. The Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth, and he will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet." Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our king. Sing praises. You can't express it enough. "For God is the king of all the earth." Sing praises with understanding. "God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth now belong to God. He is greatly exalted." Psalm 98 and verse 6. One more time. Psalm 98 verse 6. "With the trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King." This day, today, the Feast of Trumpets symbolizes a day of unparalleled celebration and rejoicing. It happens when this day is fulfilled. Yes, there will be many at the beginning who will still be deceived. And when Christ returns, they will fight against the returning Christ. There will also be a time when most that remain alive will have been devastated by disasters and plagues. But they need hope. And they will begin to have that hope as they realize who this awesome being who has now descended from the heavens in power and glory and majesty, who he really is. And they will shout joyfully before the Lord, their King. It will take a few days. Will help them see it. Isaiah chapter 18 and verse 3 tells us this day will come. The people of this earth will have their eyes opened and they will celebrate just like we're celebrating today. Isaiah 18 and verse 3, "All inhabitants of the world and all dwellers of the earth," that's who he's talking to, "listen," he says, "when he lifts up a banner on the mountains," when Jesus Christ lifts up that banner on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, you see it. And when he blows a trumpet, listen to it. You will hear it. Do we begin to see how marvelous that is? Don't just read that and say, oh, the people are going to hear a trumpet blow. What does it mean? The people of the earth are going to begin to respond to the rule of Jesus Christ, and they're going to learn what blessings come from obedience to Jesus Christ. And they'll hear the trumpet of God in the way that we are privileged to hear it today. The blowing of trumpets will signify a time of worldwide repentance and turning towards Jerusalem. Isaiah 27. Verse 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh. God has great power. He will accomplish his work. From the channel of the river Euphrates to the brook of Egypt. All around the world, basically. That was their known world at the time, maybe. And the peoples, it says, you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. And so it shall be in that day that great trumpet will be blown. And they will come, those who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, the outcast in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. That's the trumpet the world's going to hear. A loud trumpet. See why it says louder and louder? It's a trumpet of hope, trumpet of restoration. It's a signal that destruction and war is not starting. It's now going to come to an end. And they aren't going to die after all, those people who have remained alive to this point. This will be a trumpet of rescue, a trumpet of, that calls them to return to Jerusalem, to Israel, to once again worship before the Lord their God. And we're not at this point yet. That day's coming. Today, only a few people have the opportunity to hear the blowing of the trumpet. Hope we're hearing it. But the trumpet is blowing nonetheless. There is a trumpet that's blowing. Most of the world has turned a deaf ear to it or is totally ignoring the alarm that a major event is about to happen. Hopefully, we're hearing it. Hopefully, all of us do know what's happening to our nation, to the world. And as we hear that trumpet, it causes an emotional response when we consider what is about to take place. When a different type of trumpet sounds, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 19. There is a time of war that's coming ahead of us before these wonderful days that we're reading about, a days of repentance. Before that comes, and Jeremiah writes about it here in Jeremiah 4 and verse 19. He cries out, he says, oh, my soul. See, God's given him a vision. He knows what's ahead. I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise inside me. I cannot hold my peace. Because you have heard, my soul. You've heard the sound of the trumpet. You've heard the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, and the whole land is plundered. And suddenly my tents are plundered and my curtains. In just a moment, how long will I see the standard? How long will I hear the sound of trumpet? How long will I see this war, this destruction? And we know this is coming. We also know that we have a mission of sounding an alarm, of lifting up our voices like a trumpet says, and showing my people their sins. Another use of trumpets. And we pray yet that God will give his church a voice to proclaim his warning message to a dying world, as Mr. Kylo wrote about. We want to do that. It will be a witness. But again, we know most are not going to listen to the sound of that trumpet. Jeremiah 6, just a couple chapters over, and verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is. Walk in it. You'll find rest for your souls there. This is the message. I have a message to tell you. Find this good path. Walk in it. You'll find rest. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you saying, listen, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we won't listen. We won't listen. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what's among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. They won't listen to the trumpet. There will be a warning message proclaimed, it says, as a trumpet, whether by a work that God allows us to do, or later by the work of the two witnesses. But the nations willingly will refuse to listen to the alarm. I will not hear this, they will say. I will not walk on that path. And they will say instead, peace, peace. We know there is no peace. We do have a responsibility that God has given us to proclaim the alarm, to sound the trumpet of the coming tribulation and the coming day of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 33. Let's review our responsibility before God. Verse 1. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people. Isn't that us? Aren't we the descendants of those people? Spiritual Israel. When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, and when he sees a sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, if that sword comes and takes him away, the blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He didn't take the warning. He said, I will not hear. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning and says, I'll listen, will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and that sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. We have a job to do. We have to be blowing a trumpet. And the job does not just belong to God. He wants us to participate in sounding that alarm. We need to be asking God, make us an instrument. Make me an instrument in your hands to accomplish the task that you want me to accomplish, and us as your church. We are a very small army, but we've already seen what God did with Gideon's army and the blowing of trumpets. What were we to learn from that? Ask God, open the doors to make it possible for us to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God in ways we can't even imagine. God can imagine it. God maybe has something planned we can't think of. How are we going to do this work? We're so small. So is Gideon's army. God doesn't need technical skills and massive numbers. He needs yielded hearts. He needs committed lives. He needs us to say, I want to blow the trumpet. I want to do my part. He needs people who are willing to let God work through them to accomplish miracles. Are you that type of a person? Will you let God work through you? We don't know how much time is left, but all the signs point, it's very near. Zephaniah chapter 1. Minor prophets. Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zechariah. No, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. There it is. It's in there somewhere. You'll find it. I'll give you a moment. Zephaniah chapter 1. Verse 14. How much time is left? Does it tell us here? Well, the great day of the Lord. It's near. It's near. It hastens quickly. Yeah, that was written a long time ago, wasn't it? It's a lot closer. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpets and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they've sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh poured out like refuse. Now, scriptures like that are hard to read, aren't they? We don't like to read about devastation and desolation, of darkness and gloominess, and of death. But we know, we should know, our God is a God of love and mercy and compassion, great compassion. That's the God that we serve. Never forget that. The last holy day that we'll celebrate this year reminds us of that. Every human being who has ever lived and died apart from God will live again in a better world. And they'll be given a new lifetime to live under the incredible blessings and incredible beauty of a restored earth that we'll have a part in restoring. All these people will live again. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14. This is what God has in plan for the future. Then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with whirlwinds from the south. And verse 16, the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people. You know, a shepherd loves his sheep. Doesn't want any of them to be lost. Neither does the great shepherd. They shall be like jewels of a crown, lifted up like a banner over his land. For how great is its goodness, how great is its beauty. I believe that's yet another description of the return of Jesus Christ, how wonderful it's going to be for God's people on that day. But I think it also describes something else. I think it also describes the world that those who rise in the second resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years, the world that they will see. Certainly be a land of great beauty. And God will save all those people in that day as the flock of his people. He loves them all. God's promise of a resurrection from the dead is sure and it is certain. And it will happen for everyone. These people are not lost. These people will live again. And God has a tremendous plan outlined by all these holy days. The Feast of Trumpets in particular speaks about the resurrection of the dead. Of the saints, as we start that process, 1,000 years, and then all the rest of the dead live again, have their chance. The Old Testament speaks of resurrection of the dead as well. It also speaks of their reward, the saints, of rulership over the nations. Psalm 82 and verse 6. See, the Old Testament is full of promises of God. What our future has, what God has in store for our future. And you talk about a reward, about being in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, being as God. Is that in the Old Testament? Why? Look at Psalm 82, verse 6. It says, I said, you are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. You shall die like men, and you will fall like one of the princes. So we all die. But verse 8, arise, O God. Has God ever died? Jesus Christ did. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We arise in the resurrection. Oh God. God clearly speaks of eternal life in the family of God and the earth becoming our inheritance. Not only for us as the first fruits, but for all who will enter the kingdom of God. Verse 37, or Psalm chapter 37. Back a few pages, Psalm 37 and verse 9. Again, speaking of what God has in plan, has in store as an inheritance. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. The meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. A great reward. Now, we're about to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're going to celebrate this coming world of peace and righteousness. A wonderful world tomorrow. How can it be that so many people have no vision of this coming glorious world? We just read it right there in Psalm 37 and other places. How is it they can read the same Bible that you have and have no concept of Jesus Christ returning to this earth, establishing his rule, his government, and over which the saints will also rule? It makes no sense to them. This day we celebrate today was clearly described in the pages of the Old Testament. Why don't they see that? It says, a king of righteousness is coming to rule the world. Jeremiah 23. You see, the veil is still there. Hasn't been lifted yet. They're not hearing the trumpet. They're not listening to it. We're hearing it today. Loud and clear. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God. I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord God, our righteousness. Now, God knew that centuries of time would pass before this actually happened. But he didn't want that to stop his people from proclaiming this good news, that this is going to happen. There is actually hope, an incredible hope. Are we the last generation to proclaim this message before the return of Jesus Christ? How much longer? Maybe we are. But regardless, our mission is to be part of sounding the trumpet, proclaiming hope for this dying world. And they have to hear. It has to be proclaimed. Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse 18. It was prophesied that there would be a generation who would hear. There would be people of God who would be called. And then eventually, all of the world will know the King of Righteousness. And will hear the trumpet. Psalm 102, verse 18. I'm going to read this out of God's Word translation. It says, this will be written down for a future generation. Perhaps us. So that the people yet to be created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his holy place high above. From heaven he looked on the earth. And he heard the groans of the prisoners and set free those who were condemned to death. The Lord's name is announced in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when nations and kingdoms gather to worship the Lord. As we're doing today. And from what we've read today, we know that hopefully someday, very, very soon, his name will be announced in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, with the sound of many trumpets, proclaiming his triumphant return with all power and glory. And when that day comes, we've also seen today, Jesus Christ intends for us, his resurrected saints, to participate in that government. What a great government that will be. How awesome this is going to be. Establish his government, the rulership of that righteous government. That's what God's given us. He's called us today to learn something, to learn his way of life, to take over the rulership from the nations of this earth. I hope we're seeing the headlines. I hope we're reading how horrible this world is. What terrible conditions are the people live under? How much corruption, how much warfare, how much death, how much disease. This world is dying. It's the kingdoms of this world. But Daniel 2 in verse 44 tells us that that's going to change. All those governments, the heads of gold, the brass, silver, down the Roman, the 10 toes. What's it say? That great stone is going to come and crush the kingdoms of men. Daniel 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. It shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces, and it will consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. The trumpet that we're hearing today proclaims that message. Daniel 7, verse 18. Daniel 7, verse 18. The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. They will possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. That's today. Feast of Trumpets is fulfilled. That's the message of the Feast of Trumpets. It's talking about you and me, the saints of the Most High. What a glorious future we have. A great trumpet is going to sound. The kingdoms of this earth are going to become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. Nothing is greater than this. I hope we've been motivated. I hope we've been stirred to action today by the incredible meaning of what we've heard so far. What we're yet going to hear this afternoon. The meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. Its fulfillment is the greatest event in all human history. No wonder God set up this day and ordained this day as a holy day for a very special purpose. And He says, blow the trumpet! Blow the trumpet! Proclaim the return of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. He said, proclaim the resurrection of the dead. Proclaim our change to spirit beings in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Proclaim the humbling and the ultimate repentance of the nations of this earth. Proclaim the King of Kings taking His great power and establishing the government of God on this earth. Proclaim the world tomorrow. This is the day we celebrate. May God speed this day. Happy trumpets to all of you.